16 minutes after 7 now. The eagerly awaited court case involving members of the Zulu royal family that was supposed to have been heard in December last year but was pushed back when the KZN Deputy Judge President fell ill, while it finally got underway yesterday at the Pietermaritzburg High Court. The case is now in three parts after Prince Mbonisi, who wanted to stop the rumored coronation of King Misizulu, asked to join the queue and make this matter urgent. Primarily, the case is about Queen Sibongile Dlamini Zulu, who wants to inherit 50% of the estate of the late King Goodwill Zwelithini, because she says they were married according to civil rights and she is the first wife. On the other hand, the Queen's daughters, Princess Ntando Yenkosi and Ntombisuthu Zulu, want the King's will declared null and void because they say the signature on it was forged. To defend the matter, King Misizulu and his traditional Prime Minister, Inkosi Mangosuthu Buthelezi, they assembled a legal team that includes a number of legal eagles. And yesterday, there was even a request for the acting judge president to recuse himself, as they say there might be a conflict of interest. It's really a minefield of complication. So we've invited an historian, writer and researcher, Prince Zoza Shongwe, to come and help us unpack it all for us. Thank you very much for your time this morning.
It's my pleasure. Greetings to you and your listeners on 702. Yes.
Well, I suppose the first thing, if nothing else, this case lays bare the difficulties, if not contradictions, of having monarchies within a constitutional democracy.
Definitely, definitely. As you can see, that now it's a matter of the civil law versus the customary law. Because when you look at the side of Inkosi Mangosuthu Buthelezi, the Prime Minister of the traditional Prime Minister of the Zulu Nation, his grounds of supporting Prince Misizulu is that it's based on the customary law that the great wife of the king can be determined by customs such as ilobolo, whereby the dowry is paid by the nation, as it happened with the late Queen Mantombi Dlamini Zulu, that her dowry was paid by all the amakhosi of different regions of the Zulu kingdom.
Right.
And that means the nation paid the dowry for her. And by doing so, customary, it indicates that she's a great wife, therefore an heir is expected to be born by her rather than any other queen. And also the fact that according to the tradition of Nguni people, such as Amaxhosa, AmaZulu and AmaSwati, if it happens that in the royal house amongst the queens of the reigning monarch, there's one who's of royal blood from another nation, automatically that queen,
yeah,
she's the one who becomes the great wife, and she's the one who's expected to bear an heir for the nation. So those are the grounds. So now you see the customary law clashing with the current democratic constitution that says when the monarch is deceased, the royal family must come together and choose who should rule.
Right.
And the traditionalists are opposed to that because they will say, no, Inkosi iyazalwa is not, I care. The king is not chosen, unlike under democracy. The king is the king by birthright.
But there's also, I mean, you've really outlined the claim, I suppose, of Misizulu via his mother. But on the other hand, Queen Sibongile Dlamini Zulu says, hang on, we're all citizens ultimately before the law as any other citizens in South Africa. I was the first wife. We were married through the civil process. We're in community of property, and therefore I am entitled as a citizen of the Republic of South Africa to 50% of his estate. That's a very, very interesting tension, I suppose, between civil law and customary law.
Definitely. Because it could be argued that fine, you were married under the civil law and you were married in community of property, meaning that you are entitled to the 50% of the share of the deceased king's estate. But that could be invalidated under the customary law to say the moment the king started to marry beyond you, taking another queen and another one. So now it means your marriage is no longer protected under the civil law because automatically your family is falling under the customary law now. Your husband became polygamous.
Yeah, but equally you could argue that civil law does allow or at least does recognize polygamous marriages. And if anything, her argument is that the wives that came after her knew exactly what they were getting themselves into.
Yes, but I also learned a bit that the Civil Customary Act that she married under, which I think it was within the regime of KwaZulu government, the erstwhile KwaZulu government, which were also known as Bantu State Homeland Government, that it was the Act of 1973, if I'm not mistaken, which as time goes on, it became repealed or amended. As we were venturing into the new dispensation of democracy, I think the legal eagles will also look at those.
It's fascinating. It is so fascinating. All right, can you explain the application then for the Deputy Judge President of KwaZulu-Natal yesterday to recuse himself? What's the potential conflict of interest that is being alleged there?
I'm not really quite aware of what is that claim by the Prince Mosizulu's side that the Deputy Judge President must recuse himself because he has a potentiality of clash of interest.
All right.
Not very clear on that.
All right, that's fine. Let's move on. Let's move on. One of the issues, of course, that is certainly going to be central to this case is the validity of the late King's will. What's the argument there about alleged forgery?
That one, it would be the matter of handwriting experts to prove or disapprove that signature. I don't know how much of water does that claim hold that is brought by the two princesses, Princess Ndumzosu and the other princesses.
Isn't the tradition, or at least would it not be a good one, certainly, if the incumbent, whoever it may be, makes it clear to the nation what his will be in terms of succession? And why did it not happen with the late King Goodwill Zwelithini?
It's quite intriguing, really. Why? Because he's one of those looking that have lived long and reigned very long as compared to his predecessors. He had all the time. He was living in modern times where the availability of legal aspect at hand, and I suppose he had also modern thinking advisors, including the Prime Minister of the Zulu Nation, is a well-learned man, as we know him. So really, I don't understand why this issue of succession was never ironed out, even when the king was still alive, to make proper wills and put them at proper places, you know. It's really intriguing. I think maybe he was not very sure of who to succeed him, and maybe he also said everything will lie on the traditional structures, I suppose.
So I noticed you've referred to Mrs. Zulu as a prince. In your view, is he the king as matters stand?
Most of them referring to him as a prince because of the very nature of the happenings that are taking place right now, that he's being contested, and one would say he has not yet even coronated traditionally, you know, in terms of doing the ceremony. However, I'm not opposed to those who are saying he's a king.
But whichever way this thing is decided, it will raise questions about the legitimacy of whoever eventually sits on that throne.
Definitely. One wonders, we have to see what will happen. How will they consolidate the nation and the royal house, the party that will win? It will become really a challenge at hand. How will they now iron out all the conflicts and the differences that have taken place?
I want you to have a listen to what the traditional Prime Minister, Inkosi Mangosuthu Buthelezi, has said about the Queen.
I think most of the members of the royal family are actually quite shocked by what she has done, because she was still in mourning, and they, as the widows of the king in particular, and the children of the king in particular, are still in mourning. And for them to rush to court in the manner they have done has actually disgraced the royal family. And actually, we think that it will stand out in history as one shameful thing that was done by a queen during the mourning period of her husband.
Referring there, of course, to Queen Sibongile Dlamini Zulu. Yesterday, you would have seen, no doubt, a number of Amabutho encircling the court. Will the Queen be a target, I suppose, when all of this is said and done, should Mrs. Zulu win this?
I believe that if King Mrs. Zulu wins this contestation case, since he has the backing of the traditional Prime Minister of the Zulu Nation, which is a well-experienced leader politically and culturally, I think that they will have a way of reconciling the royal house, of bringing everybody back to the fold. That's what I believe. So my concern is that if the other party is the one that wins, since now then we know that the traditional prime minister politically, he has a lot of clout within the Zulu Nation. He has a lot of followers. Hence, the incumbent, as he is being supported by the traditional prime minister, it means majority of the Zulu Nation is supporting the incumbent. So now, if it happens that the court comes up with a different outcome from what is the situation now, I'm very concerned that how will now, for example, let's say Prince Makate, he becomes the new king through the court. How easy it would be for the Zulu Nation to accept him, even the difficult party to accept. How will they make him rule conducively? It would be very challenging. And that's what I see.
In that scenario, could you foresee violence even?
Possible.
And that's why it matters not only to the Zulu Nation, but to all South Africans. Prince Zoza Shongwe, I really, really appreciate your time on a fascinating subject. Historian, writer, and researcher there.